Hi, my name is Ben Armstrong.
Hi, this is David Koch.
My name is Thomas Maurer.
Hi, I'm Donna Sarkar.
Hi, my name is Lana Montgomery.
Hi, I'm Seth Warres.
Hi, I'm Aaron Thomas.
I'm Jess Dodson.
Hi, I'm Rocky Heckman.
Hi, I'm Sonia Cuff.
Hi, I'm Troy Hunt.
Hello, this is Wally Mead.
My name is Reid Purvis.
Hi, I'm Lars Flynn.
Hi, my name is Alan Birchall.
Hi, I'm Adam Fowler.
Hi, I'm Sky Guthrie, and you're listening to the Need to Know podcast.
All the latest Microsoft Cloud news, as well as industry guest deep dive conversations. It's a Need to Know podcast. All thanks to the CIA Ops patron community. The Need to Know podcast. Catch us on Twitter and Facebook, N2K Podcast, and online at ciaops.podbean.com.
Hello and welcome to the Need to Know podcast. My name is Robert Crane and you join me for episode 273. So the format of the podcast will be some news and updates from the cloud, and then we'll dive into an interview. So news at the moment is that Windows 11 will be available on October 5. So this is a little bit earlier than most people were expecting. And again, this is a good thing. I think that this is an indication of how mature Windows 11 is. A lot of people are probably right in saying that is very much like a Windows 10 environment, or it's a skin version of Windows 10. But the idea here is that it does show the evolution and probably the focus from Microsoft again on their operating system. I think there's also a bit of a need to, or a desire to, drive new PC sales coming up to, you know, the Christmas period or the discount period in the US, and also hopefully the breaking out of lockdown. So watch out for Windows 11 coming out on October 5. Now, the way it's going to roll out is the machines that are most ready for it or most suitable will get it first, and then it will be in a staggered mechanism from there. So again, I'll put an article that you can go in and have a look at this announcement in the show notes to give you some idea of all the announcements Microsoft made around this. Now, speaking about Windows 11, if you do have an Azure environment or you are working with Azure, the Windows 11 preview is now available on your Azure machine, so you can go in and spin up an Azure virtual machine. Now, to me, this is probably the best option. When Windows 11 did come out, I did ponder whether it was worthwhile trying to upgrade one of my machines, and they didn't have the right hardware, didn't have enough RAM perhaps, so I sort of sat on my hands a bit and waited for this announcement here and have gone out and built a new VM totally using Windows 11, have a play with it. Of course, it's not going to support exactly all the features, you know, some of the TPM, the hardware stuff we can't do virtually particularly well at this stage, but to get the look and the feel, to do any testing of applications and things like that, again, go in and have a look at the Azure environment, which now includes Windows 11 for you as well. Now, another change in Microsoft's plans has been, it's announced that it is going to split its Microsoft Defender into a Microsoft Defender for Endpoint into a Plan 1 and a Plan 2. And again, I'll put the link here in the show notes so you can have a look. This has been a much anticipated announcement because it's probably going to allow the ability to implement the Defender product much easier or more readily in SMB. So there's a comparison here between P1 and P2. So basically, some of the things you're not going to get in the P1 plan are going to be EDR, automated investigations, threat vulnerability and management, threat analytics, sandboxing, which is the deep analytics capability, and the Microsoft Threat Experts. Now, at this stage, the product is not available. It's in preview, so that means that you can go and sign up to the preview, add it to your tenant now if you want to go and have a look at it. And I believe it's around a 60-day trial that you can sign up for. So again, you can go in and do that. Again, I will put the documentation into the show notes here. And the idea here is that if you want to have a look at it and experience it, it is a 90-day, apologies, it is a 90-day, not a 60-day trial. So go in and sign up, get a good feel for this. And again, remember, it is a per-user license. Now, the interesting thing is that it is being included in the Microsoft 365 E3 plan by default. So when it becomes available towards the end of the year, Microsoft will automatically roll it into Microsoft 365 E3. Now, at this point in time, it's currently not planned to, or there's no mention of it planning to be available for Microsoft 365 Business Premium, so it would be an add-on to that plan, but I have a strong feeling that eventually we will see Azure Defender for Endpoint P1 or something very similar be included in Microsoft 365 Business Premium. So again, just my feeling on how the direction will play out. Nothing as yet in that announcement, but again, keep your eyes peeled for that. And if you want, like I said, go in and sign up for a free 90-day trial of Defender for Endpoint Plan 1. Now, Microsoft has also put up here a blog post about getting a free DMARC visibility indicator with ValuMail. So the idea is that you would set up your DNS records and use the ValuMail service to be able to go and report. So again, this is a mature product that you can go in and get some of these reports, an indication of, you know, who is sending emails from your domain or pretending to be your domain. And again, it's a totally free service. You can go and sign up for it. I'll put the link in the show notes so you can go and take advantage of that. I have set this up on one of the domains that I work with and do demos and stuff on, and it's quite easy, quite straightforward to set up. You do have to make some changes to your DNS records, but after that, it's very, very straightforward to go in and validate. So again, a nice free tool here for DMARC reporting and visibility provided from Office 365 and also ValuMail. So take advantage of that. Now, another interesting announcement here is that Microsoft will be now supporting the Apple M1 natively in Intune. All right, so this means that it can now be incorporated. Now, Microsoft has also just announced that it's going to provide that same sort of support for Defender for Endpoint on the Mac. So if you do have a Mac with an Apple M1 chip, you're going to also now be able to use Defender for Endpoint on that to provide protection for that environment. So it shows Microsoft's commitment to doing this multi-platform defense when it comes to Defender for Endpoint. So remember, you've got that free trial, which we talked about with P1, and now we've also got this capability with the new Apple M1 support for Defender for Endpoint as well. An improvement that Microsoft has also recently announced is simplifying the quarantine experience. So this is for quarantining your emails. So some of the updates that are coming soon are going to be a folder policy and user release workflow. So I think Wizard, organizational branding, that's going to be really handy to help delineate messages that are in quarantine and overcome some of these phishing attempts we see out there. Also, they're going to improve the email submission capability from the quarantine portal. Bulk release is also coming, and a better preview of these quarantine emails. And there's also going to be quarantine support for shared mailbox. So this is something that was missing, that many people were looking for this capability to use the quarantine in a much easier manner when it came to shared mailboxes. So again, there is a great article from Microsoft here about what's coming and what it will look like. So I'll put that again in the show notes for you to go and have a look at. Now, the last article I've got for you here is about securing your Windows 365 cloud PCs. Now, this talks about the Windows 365 Business and Windows 365 Enterprise options. They are different when it comes to the security side of the house. This article does lay out and give you a number of links to go and have a look at to get more information about how to secure this environment to a greater level. I will report that I have successfully set up Windows 365 Business for my own environment. I had a bit of a struggle with some of the conditional access policies that I had in play that were causing some of the connection process with Windows 365 Business to fail. I will include a blog post of that article where I sort of teased out how I found that and some additional troubleshooting I found that may help people who are looking to run up Windows 365 Business, because if you do have your environment locked down securely, you can prevent the auto connection of Windows 365 cloud PCs if you're using things like conditional access. So again, I will include that in the show notes for you to go and have a look at. Now, with that, don't forget you can connect up with me on the Twitters at DirectorCIA. You can also send me an email, director@ciaops.com. And remember to let me know of any suggestions or thoughts or people you would like to see interviewed with this podcast. Now, without further ado, let's get into the interview for this episode. Welcome along to the interview for this Need to Know episode. I'm joined by Dave Nichols from Melbourne. Dave, welcome.
Thank you, Robert. Good to be here.
I've asked Dave to come along and speak about his journey, his migration, his transformation, all those drinking terms that we use these days. But before we do that, why don't you give us a bit of a background, Dave, on what you currently are doing, what you're focused on in the space at the moment?
Sure. Well, I'm essentially what you might call a one-man band at the moment. And I'm looking after a broad range of customers, primarily 100% cloud. There's none of them have got a server. Looking at them, running them, administering them, supporting them from the point of view of a cloud-only situation. So
I think what we wanted to tease out and get your experience on is that obviously you've gone through a journey over time now. Now, if we wind the clock back a period of time, how long ago would it be now that you would say that you were still doing things in the old way, you know, largely focused on on-prem, focused on servers, infrastructure, cabling, changing drives, you know, all that sort of stuff? How long ago would have that been?
On-prem, mainly on-prem SBS stuff, you know, USB backup drives, all those things that send a shiver down my spine now. Those were all about 4 years ago, and started to make that transition sort of 3 to 4 years ago into seeing the value of cloud. But the initial entry into the cloud was one of hybrid and boutique systems with a hosted provider from such and such over here and someone else over here. And what it ended up doing was creating something that worked, but the value wasn't there for the client. The client looked at you funny when you said you had to spend extra if you wanted to do something like, you know, OneDrive or something like that. And in those days, clients were buying 365 apps for business and strapping those to their boutique-provided hosted things, which was just not good value for them. This also created a system where there was many, many moving parts, and these all required individual management, which became more and more unwieldy. And the more I looked at it, the more I saw this sea of cloud coming, and it was a choice of picking a provider. So it was like, do I go down the Google route or do I go down the Microsoft route? Because either way I looked at it, one of those two providers was likely to swamp the on-premise world. And
just take a step back here and think, why did you feel that even 4 or 5 years ago? What were the indications, you know, in your world that sort of that was the likely outcome or that was the future? Because back then, I think a lot of people were still unsure. We probably still had, you know, BPOS back in the day and those sort of things. You know, how could you have or feel that the confidence that this was going to end up being the dominant force in technology?
I think it came about when you looked at the offerings that they had. It was like when you looked at the Microsoft solution, for example, it wasn't just a stack of desktop apps. It was desktop apps and cloud services. And most of the client base that I had were fairly small operators, and most of them were small business server. And small business server was essentially a file server, a domain controller that did the identity and the logon verification for the users in that organization. Plus, it was a mail server. Now, when you looked at the Microsoft solution, most of those solutions offered those products in a way that that didn't have all the complexities that went with the on-premise world. So the trick was getting there. And I think increased bandwidth has helped a lot, certainly helped with migrations. But the advent of NBN and things like that of more recent years has just accelerated the path. So,
all right. So obviously you're in one business mode, so largely focused, as you said, on SBS and on-prem, and you can see the cloud coming in one way, shape or form. What, again, at that point in time, you, I believe, made a fairly, you changed direction, let's say. You could have, I suppose, continued on the infrastructure way and added little bits in over time and gradually. But from my understanding is at some point down the road there, you decided to go all in with the cloud or make a major move that you wanted to go in this direction. What sort of brought about that thinking and that change? So, you know what, I can see that this old world I need to change out of as quickly as possible into this new opportunity.
Yeah, the urgency from my point of view was that if I didn't do this, someone else was going to come along and do it for me, and they were going to do it with my clients. And the writing was on the wall. I looked at it as well from the point of view of serviceability. How can I service the needs of my clients? And our clients were also starting to make more and more demands on distributed technology, and they were starting to want to be a lot more flexible with how they worked and where they worked, and whichever way you cut or sliced it, they were looking for things that were going to require very complex solutions and VPNs to this and that and remote desktop to this and that and a whole bunch of other things that were just plain difficult to manage and awkward in a small business environment. So the cloud presented the flexibilities and the ability for me as a one-person operator to continue delivering the support that my clients were very happy with. But if I continued with this, a piece of this from here and a piece of that from over there, it would have quickly become unwieldy, and it limited my ability to scale my business.
All right. So obviously, you've made this change, realized you've seen the coming tsunami of the move to the cloud. You've decided to move your business in that direction. I would assume that at that point, that's a pretty daunting thing to look at, because it would seem that the cloud is a very different kettle of fish from what you want, what you're used to on-prem, especially from a business point of view, where generally the on-prem was an outright purchase to where the cloud now is a per user per month style environment. When you did make this realignment or aligning yourself with the cloud options here, where did you start? What was the path that you mapped out for yourself? Did you feel, okay, I needed to, do this immediately, so I went out and, did this training or did this or focused on this, so that after you've made the decision, what was sort of your next thinking and direction to actually make this happen?
Yeah, this is a while ago. But I do recall looking at this problem in little air quotes and thinking, right, if I'm going to get across this, I've got to get across it quickly. And that's when I looked at your patron community, Robert, and thought, right, this is a concentrated source of knowledge, and it's very current and it's dynamic and it keeps updating. and there's support. So I'm going to go ahead and join that one. And that was super helpful. It covered all the things that I needed to get up and running quickly. And there was support there from yourself and from other patron members as well, when I might have been stuck or had a question. So that was excellent. The other side of it being that going from a on-prem world where the customer buys the server and the customer buys the NAS or whatever it is, and they typically bought their Office 360, their Office, what do we call it now? Their Office home and business was typically the thing that people bought. And these were all typically outright purchases. And then what was left was, you know, you did an hour's work and you got and you sent a bill for an hour. And that sort of thing was difficult to scale. And it was constantly something where you were doing the work and you were invoicing after the fact. And so my wife had taken her business to a recurring revenue model. And so that made it really easy for me to just sort of slot into that as well. And I gradually brought customers. I didn't do them all at once. I did, you know, the ones that were easiest for me to do first, and I cherry picked them, and then I brought the rest of them over. But that made that process easier. So,
but also too, part of that journey that you've taken was not only the technical or ramping up the technical expertise in the cloud technologies, you also went down a business improvement option there. Can you speak to that for people out there?
Yeah, I think you're alluding to the business blueprint thing that we joined up to. And I think every small business or every professional person needs some sort of professional development and business blueprint run by Dale Beaumont was a really excellent platform for that. I was introduced to it by a colleague, and it opened my eyes to a different way of doing business. It opened my eyes to a broad range of business people that I hadn't met before, obviously, and it basically gave me a transformative or a bit of a paradigm shift in the way that I thought about business and the way I thought about product and the way I thought about delivering service and value to clients. It was great.
What would you say was the biggest learning or the biggest surprise that when you joined a community of people who aren't largely IT focused, who are generally, you know, just business people, entrepreneurs, call them what you want. What was the biggest eye opener that you had now that you sort of moved out from or away from into a peer group that wasn't based on technical knowledge?
I think the biggest eye opener was that the way that I'd been doing it, the way that I'd been delivering product X, Y, and Z was really born out of my own experiences and my own limited circle of activities. And when you start mixing with businesses that are from all over Australia in one room, from the likes of, there might be skincare clinics, there could be chocolate makers, there could be chefs and cooks and people who make t-shirts, all sorts of different things. What was really good was seeing that the same core things were important to each one of those businesses. It didn't matter what they did. What they did was just what they did. But they all still needed value, support. They needed to be given current tools, and this was a group who was having new tools and new cool things rammed down their throat every 3 months. And the thing that woke or triggered in my brain was these are all people that have very similar needs, and the And when you bring it back to the cloud, something like the Microsoft Cloud is able to service just about all of them.
All right, so we've made this change. You've beginning to invest in a different set of peer groups to extend you technically and to extend you business-wise as well. Obviously, doing so is going to cause challenges. It's going to cause pain. It's going to make you sweat, and it's not going to be easy. So, after making these changes and starting on this journey. And obviously you've taken it in little steps, but you would agree, I would think, that it wasn't all a bed of roses. There were challenges still there to achieve, weren't there?
Well, I'm sure. Some of those challenges were relationship-wise with looking at the vendors that I was using and having to let some of them down gently because less and less third-party vendors were required. But in other aspects of it, it was rationalizing what I did and making decisions about, some clients weren't for me. Sometimes you have to... you have to say goodbye to a client if they're not a good fit for your business. And, I guess that can be challenging.
So on that point, how did your existing base, who are very familiar and comfortable with the way you were doing things and obviously probably very comfortable with the current existing technologies, how did they take this change in your direction or your... that you were thinking about, we want to go to the cloud, we want to think about, these sort of new technologies now. What was the sort of reaction to that when you approach customers with this sort of, change in direction to an extent?
It was really well received because the vast majority of them had already left the small business server world and were... They were being serviced by hosted exchange and but they were still running with, home and business or desktop apps provided by 365, but no cloud services and stuff like that. So for those guys, it was really a matter of, look, you're going to have pretty much exactly what you've got now. But we'll be providing it with a different vendor. We've got a little migration thing we've got to do in the background and all that, but that'll be largely seamless to you. But out the other end of it is going to come, well, you've got exactly what you had before, plus you're going to have a whole lot more tools and resources at your fingertips, and we'll help you get to know how to make the best of those. And that went down really well.
All right, so how long into this journey after making that decision would you say that you sort of felt comfortable, in your new uniform there? Like, so you've changed direction. Obviously, doing so is a huge intimidating refocus, learning, coming up to speed with the differences the cloud provides and the way it's sold and your business model. And again, we know that the world of Microsoft Cloud is changing daily effectively. But at some point, I'm sure that you got to a feeling within your own mind, I'm on top of this. I feel sort of, back at the same comfort level I had when I was doing the on-prem stuff. How long would you say into that you could sit back and sort of say, I know there's a lot to learn, there's more stuff to do, but it's beginning to come together.
Yeah, I think that probably took me about 6 months, 8 months to get my head around it. And when I say that, I was, I don't know if you'd call it blessed or lucky, but the way I approached it was I just looked at everything that I needed to know, and most of that was offered on a platter through the patron community with yourself. But I looked at that and I thought, right, I've got to get my head around these are the important things first, right? And then I effectively spent every weekend and many hours into the wee small hours of the morning, and most of, in fact, I probably spent 50% of my working weeks on getting myself across this Microsoft cloud. So I spent a lot of time on it, and it was probably 6 or 7 months to get to the point where, you know what, I can manage these apps, I can manage Exchange Online, I can manage this stuff, and I'm not too thrown by the odd weird question that a client might give me or technical thing that I might come across. Moving from there to next steps, which involved things like device management and some of the other more advanced stuff, that's been a constant journey, and one that I think that I've now mastered most of it. So
do you feel that, looking back on the time, was after making that decision to change and coming up to speed, was there ever a time that you had doubts as to whether this was the right, I'd done the right thing, or was it just a case of, I know it is, and I just need to work through this and get up to speed and have this knowledge? Were there ever, did the doubts ever creep in?
No, the doubts were never there. And I knew that I was doing the right thing, because every time I turned around, there was yet another example of why this was being, why what I was doing was right. And, you know, we see it all the time, and more recently with the on-premise Exchange, you know, vulnerabilities that were exploited in the last few months. You see an event like that where, you know, many, many good operators have got their clients, they haven't got their clients into trouble.
Let's just summarize it by saying that they're running around with their hair on fire.
Pretty much, yes.
Of course, again, largely it is out of their control, and obviously they potentially have a lot of things to go and mitigate on-prem, which to an extent is sort of, you know, out of their control, but needs to be done
urgently. And the further I got into this, Robert, the more I was able to see that this was the right choice from the point of view of being able to sustainably manage clients and scale my business.
All right. So now that you're at that point and you're, you know, working through it and feel as though it's, you're more comfortable, you're getting on top of it, it's giving you the direction that you are after in your business. When you look around at your peers and you see others who maybe at some point that you were in there in your journey, and they're struggling, or they're questioning, or they're wondering why, or being hesitant, or, you know, being intimidated by the challenge that faces them, you know, what's your sort of you know, recommendations to those people who probably have a very long road in front of them and maybe are procrastinating somewhat about, you know, committing to this, and as you said, you know, saying no to the old stuff and maybe focusing more on the new stuff? You know, what's your, now that you're an experienced operator with this and you've gone through this potentially 4-year journey, you know, what's your sort of recommendations or advice you would give these sort of people who are perhaps still, you know, beginning, commencing, or, you know, getting started in this journey?
Yeah. I think the first advice would be to, you know, grab hold of somebody like myself or you or somebody and sit down and actually have a bit of a chat with them and just do a bit of a two-way thing. And we can cover a bit of that here, but it would take the edge off any apprehensions that they may have. But I think if I was talking to somebody who is in that on-prem land with files on, you know, a local server or a NAS, or still supporting a small business server with email on it, then my focus for them would be to move email first, get rid of that on-premise Exchange server, and then look at the files and the things that the client needs to do, and then move those into SharePoint. But have that whole conversation around picking the right licenses. You can't do this with a business basic license. You need to be able to take them to the right license in the right license in the cloud, so that you can bring with it all the security and things that come with it. Because correctly implemented, these your clients are going to be more secure in the cloud than on premise. It's just that simple. And you're not then at the whim, or you're not likely to get a call at 8 o'clock at night because the server's down, because it's in the cloud now.
So would you also say that a good first step is to convert your own business to be running in the cloud, to be living the dream, to be drinking the Kool-Aid, as they say, and sort of experience this in your own business before you talk about implementing it to your customer base? Because at the end of the day, my experience has been that unless you are genuine in the fact that you've moved to the cloud, it's going to be very hard to convince customers to do exactly the same. And I think that's something that you've done successfully, is you've taken that into your own business and, you know, transformed your own business. And then that's given you the confidence to go and speak to customers, say, well, I've done it, so can you.
Yeah, great point, Robert, because that's the first migration I did. And that's the that was where I started with all of this stuff, was starting in my own backyard, because that way, and, you know, let's be honest, you can't do this sort of stuff without making the odd mistake along the way. And if you make the mistake on your own terms, in your own backyard, outside the eyes of customers, etc., then it's a lot easier to sort of pick yourself up from and move forward with. You know, I know I had migrated. I did what you don't recommend. I lifted and shifted a great stack of files to SharePoint. It's not something that I recommend everybody do. It's you end up with a whole bunch of rubbish up in SharePoint that you don't need. And, you know, I made those mistakes. I made the mistake of creating, you know, a Microsoft team for every customer, which was, or a channel for every customer. And that stuff just doesn't, it's just not the way it works best. So, yes, doing that stuff here on our own stuff was critical, because if you don't use it every single day, how can you possibly support it for your clients? Because they're going to have to use it every single day. And, you know, when I meet people that are still running Windows 7 on their desktops, in this day and age, when Windows 7 has been out of support for so long and it's such an insecure platform, it bothers me. You know, there's just no two ways around it. You need to be using the right tools. You need to be using them yourself, and that way you can walk the talk.
So probably one of the major criticisms, or the major challenges people have, is that the space is not only very large and requires a good deal of investment, as you've mentioned, but it's moving forward at an increasingly rapid pace. So there's more and more that you need to learn, come up to speed with every day. And the recommendation is the sooner you start, the sooner you'll be into it. But how would you recommend people think about the fact that, you know, every day there's going to be a new edition, an update. We get the messages from Microsoft inside our tenants that there's new capabilities, new features. We've got, you know, Windows 365. We've now got Lighthouse. We've now got Viva. We've got Universal Print. All of these things are coming at us on a regular basis. And I think that is intimidating to a lot of people who are used to a casual 3-year cadence of, okay, you know, I install, wait for the next 3 years, then get the next version. It is a very different world. So how have you changed your comfort level when it comes to, you know, that sort of challenge?
Yeah, look, for that, to answer that, I'd basically be wanting to, I'd be suggesting that people focus on what the core things are that they need to deliver for their client, and make sure they've got a license that is able to deliver those, and make sure they cover off on the security stuff. I'm talking about the basics. I'm not talking about implementing Lighthouse and Vivo and Sentinel and all this sort of stuff right up front. I'm talking about get your head around the fact that you've got to deliver an email solution, you've got to deliver a file solution, you've got to deliver something with SharePoint and Teams. You're going to have to deal with that. But you've got to do it in a way that is secure. So I'd say do it for yourself. Make sure you've got, you know, at a minimum, business premium in your tenant for every single user, and make sure that you bring cloud app security and a couple of other things to the table and get those bedded down and understand them, and start to explore PowerShell because it's important, and get to know things like Secure Score, and make sure that you have multi-factor turned on for every single account everywhere. So focus on those things that are core, and then start listening to some of these other technologies which might be cool or being topical and so forth. And for the stuff that you can't get your head around or you're not quite ready to deal with yet, there's any number of consultants that will help or can be contracted in to help you with setting up certain aspects of it. Like, I'm not an expert at the Power Platform. I know my way around it a little bit, but if I needed to do something serious, I'd bring somebody in who was expert at it and have them do that for the client to make sure the client gets the best value for their investment.
So now that we're sitting here, August, towards the end of August 2021, and we're looking forward now, what's your vision for your future in, you know, sort of this environment? Where do you see, you know, the technology, your business, the customers, and the opportunities are available for you now that you're in a position that you've largely got, like I said, most of this under control, you've implemented for the majority of your clients, you're looking at doing the more advanced features and options now. Again, many people may look at it who are, you know, only beginning this, saying, well, what do I do? Surely, you know, it would run out at some point and I won't be able to do any more, or there'll be a limited amount that I can provide. Where do you see yourself, the business and the technologies going when you look, you know, into the future from where we are now?
Yeah, looking into the future, what I'm looking forward to in the next 12 months is being able to automate a lot more of what I do, and not from the point of view of automating it so that I don't necessarily have to be as hands-on and save me some time and stuff like that, but automating it so that there is a level of consistency with which things happen and a level of predictability with which things happen to deliver more value for the client. And the more automated things are, and the more we use some of these higher end tools that are built into the platform, the better I can scale my business. So instead of, you know, focusing on 5 to 10 person businesses, I can now look at this and go, you know what, if a client turns up tomorrow with a 50 person business, the ability to take that client on is there because it's not going to be all consuming, because those automations and tools and higher end things are actually policy driven. So I can just implement those policies and that allows me to scale. And who knows, you know, maybe I can start getting some larger clients, and that may mean I ultimately will need extra staff. Who knows?
So to round things off, and to summarize for people, so let's imagine you're talking to somebody who's, you know, still at the starting line, still not quite fully immersed or fully transformed into this new
thinking. They've dabbled in it at the edges here, but they're still hesitant. They don't necessarily see the benefits. I mean, what would your, you know, major points be to them to help them understand or help them appreciate the benefits of, you know, taking the journey as you have to get to the point where you are today?
Yeah, I guess one of the benefits of being at the point where I am now, which, you know, it's been a lot of work, and there's you have to have those conversations with your clients to make sure that they're on board with the level of licensing that they need, because, you know, they need business premium and you need to have certain things configured correctly in the tenant to make things work. But at this point, I'm not tied to going to work. I'm not tied to being at a certain desk at a certain time of the day. If I was to pick up tomorrow under normal circumstances without COVID-19 around us and find myself in Singapore, then I can support my clients just as well from Singapore or from some other location. All I need is an internet connection. So that gives you immense flexibility, and it means that if you need to have a distributed workforce, especially in these COVID times when people can't come to work as often, then that's a really easy thing to do because all of this stuff is cloud managed. So,
all right. So to summarize things up finally for everybody, what would be the best method for people to get in contact with you, ask any questions they may have that were generated by this podcast, or see what you're up to, or seek out your advice if they do want it or understand your journey a bit better? What's the best way for people to reach out and make contact?
Well, the best way would be to just flick me an email, david@solvebusiness.com.au, or check the website, solvebusiness.com.au. There's a blog post there which is reasonably active, and happy to have a chat with anyone who's starting this journey or wants to know a little bit more about what decisions I've made, etc. Open to discussions.
Well, I think that's a fantastic offer there, David. I would encourage people to take that up because, like I said, David's someone who has gone from that traditional approach and has transformed their approach, their business, and will readily agree, as we've discussed, that you do have to put in the work, but at the end of the day, it is a worthwhile result and you do reap the benefits of doing that. And I think there's a lot of opportunity in, you know, what's available now, even beyond the basics of pure email, pure security. There's the Power Automate, there's the advanced features that you can look at in things like the Azure Sentinel for security, PowerShell automation. There's just so much that can be done, and one person simply can't do it all. So again, take the opportunity to reach out to David and have a look at the information that he's providing or offering there. I'll take this opportunity to thank David for his time and sharing all that great information with us. So again, David, thank you very much for that.
Thank you, Robert.
Excellent. All right. Well, I will also take the opportunity to thank everybody else for listening in to this episode of the Need to Know podcast.
You have been listening to the Need to Know podcast from CIA Ops. For training on using technologies like SharePoint Online or Microsoft 365, visit www.ciaopsacademy.com. By purchasing from the selections available, you'll be directly supporting this podcast. To provide feedback on this episode, visit www.ciaops.com/contact.